You know, he has no feelings about this kind of thing. He doesn't feel that anything that he's done is out of the ordinary.
Well, that's these insensitive people like he and Bobby Baker, though, have goddamn near destroyed us.
That's right.
And are we going to let them do it? How long do you think old man Ickes would allow this thing to happen? What do you think it'd be? Just ask you, what do you think his reaction would be to this kind of setup? How long do you think he'd debate whether he and Ed Pauley are going to be there tonight or not?
Well,
I've debated it for about a week, but I think that if I were in his place, from his standpoint, I would be out of town. I would be in Washington. I'd come down here to Washington tonight and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say that I was out of town. This thing came up. Mm-hmm. And they brought all these things against me, and I'd love to have been to dinner. But I wouldn't be available for the press. And I'd be down here talking to somebody and just tell the folks that I'm out of town. Now, that would be preferable to making a statement or saying he'd got a cold. Wait just a minute. He's out there.
You mustn't say he's coming to Washington.
No, I wouldn't say coming to Washington. I'd say
the principal is here now, you know.
Yeah.
And then they'd be putting two and two together and getting five.
Well, maybe somebody meet him in New York. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would have him out of town on business. That's a legitimate excuse for anybody to not be at a dinner. To be out of town, it's better than having a cold.
Right.
And it seems to me it's better than having his picture made. And I think it's better than them saying that the president comes down and honors him like Truman goes to Pendergrass' funeral.
Yeah.
And even though he's dead now, I want to, if I could stand up there and by having my picture made with him, help him one little bit, I'd do it. I think that aggravates him. I think the reason Bobby is hot as he is not that he has gotten off with a lot of money or not that he's a millionaire. I think it was that Bobby Kennedy felt he was a symbol of Johnson and he'd tie him to him.
Yeah.
Now, that's my honest judgment. I know most of you don't agree with that, but I've not said it publicly, but I believe that to be a fact.
I agree. I'm persuaded, and I'm going to go at him good and hard. In terms of what he ought to decide, his own self-interest.
If he's going to be there, tell him we're not going to say he ought to be there. He can just have the president blown, but Baker's blown up here because he's close to the vice president. Now, he's going to get in the same position as close to the president as being his money bag man. What he ought to do is go up to New York tonight and meet somebody, talk about what's debated here today, and just be out of town and just have his office say that he's out of town and he had this business meeting in New York.
Right.
On whatever he could do. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to get Ken in here to talk to you a second. Hello.
Hey, Ken.
No, this is Lyndon. He's coming in.
Yes.
Pick up that 2191 over there, Ken. It's the first one. And Ken, Abe rather felt that it would create more stir for him not to be there than for him to be there. I talked to him and told him my better judgment was, and I may be wrong, and I don't mind being overruled, but that if I were Bobby Baker, I wouldn't come to be with the vice president to put my arm around him at a big function that was on statewide and will be nationwide TV. That also, I think it's bigger for McCloskey to come put his arm around the president than it is for Bobby to have his arm around the vice president. Therefore, I would be out of town today, go to New York, say that he's in New York, that he had a business meeting and that he couldn't be there and that he's a good Democrat, but he's in New York at a business meeting. Now, that's going to hurt Matt's feelings. Matt feels like he ought to go. He tells you that he won't, but last night he talked to Dave Lawrence and then he called Dave in New York and he goes with everybody and he tells you one thing and he tells them the other. And he's going to take a lot of stroking and hugging and loving. Now, Ken, tell Abe what you did and what you think about it in the light of this.
Abe, I talked to him yesterday afternoon and very frankly, he said, I suppose you don't think I ought to go to the dinner. And I said, no, I don't think you should. And he said, well, I agree with you. I don't think I ought to go. And I thought I might just say I've got a cold, I'll be out of town, and then it won't embarrass anybody. I said to him, well, look, you're embarrassing. I'm speaking even for Kennedy. You got Bob Kennedy running, and what the hell, it was in our administration. And it just seems to me that with the Senate now going to pass this resolution, that you're just sticking your own neck out. It's got really nothing to do with the president. So he said, well, I agree with you totally. I won't go. He called me back in about 2 hours and said he had just talked to Tom McBride. McBride said to him, this would be, admission of guilt. And I said, that we're not in the court of law. You're just talking public relations now. So he said, well, then...
Kenny about six.
Yeah. And then he said...
Call me about seven.
Well, he called Lawrence. Lawrence told him to call McBride. He called McBride, as I now reconstruct it.
Yeah.
So then he said... I talked to him for about a half an hour, and he finally said, well, would it be objectionable if I just showed in the hall?
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't feel I could say that much, so I said, well, I don't think anybody can stop you. But I said, I do think being at the head table, we got all the photographers and the Washington Press Corps and everything else, it would be... So he said, well, that's fine. That would not be objectionable. I'd like to think about that, and let's say that I'll just show in the hall. So I said, okay.
So well, then, he called me about 7 in New York, and he said that Kenny O'Donnell told me that he thought I oughtn't to be there. And
yeah.
I said, oh, did he? And he said, yeah. I said, what do you think? And I said, well, I'd like to think it over. And you called me at 11:30 in the morning in my office in Washington. Well, he did call me. I have a note on my desk. I haven't spoken to him yet.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling now, Ken.
Can I just finish one thing?
I beg your pardon.
Let me just say, I just talked to Lawrence after Walter talked to him. And I called the governor, and I pointed out to him, number one, he's talking about him sitting inside of Joe Clark. I said, my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard of. You got the guys going to be investigating him. That is the best picture that any guy could ever have in the United States, that you're an interrogator sitting alongside of the victim.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, that's probably right. Well, then I'll move him down to the end of the table. And I said, Governor, he is perfectly agreeable not to sit at the head table. So he said, when did you talk to him? I said, last night. So he finally, very reluctantly, said, well, if you agreed that he felt that was all right with him,
yeah,
and he was going to call you, and that's where I left it.
Well, you've got another problem, too, Kenny, which is that $1,000 dinner. And you're probably expecting to go to that.
But that's a private room with nobody there. Nobody really knows who's even at that.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, if he insisted, I think you could, that at least...
I think we ought to try to help him from himself if we can. It seems to me that, boys, I went through this. I'm not smart. But I told my wife that Les, please don't go to Bobby Baker's opening the carousel. But for 8 years, he'd been a little clerk. He'd worked day and night. When we went home at night, he was still staying up talking to senators and doing things. And this was a matter of life and death. It was a great moment to him. We drove by, and we wouldn't let him make any pictures. We wouldn't have a drink. We wouldn't take an hors d'oeuvre. We just said hello and made our appearance, but we never have lived that down. And that's not anything compared to this operation as I see it. I'm president now, and I was just a nonentity then. But that kicked this off. And I think this man must be saved from himself, just like a child that's walking into a swimming pool.
Yeah.
You just can't stand there and let him walk into it. I don't think he has the breadth and the depth to envision that here is a film for history that they will be showing in 1984 of the Harding era, where he wrote the letters to his mistress and where he was sitting up there with this man at a dinner. Now, I just believe that we ought to have enough perception and instinct and judgment to say to him, here's a judge. Joe Clark is going to be one of the six on the committee, one of the nine, 6-3. He's one of the six. You go in there associating with him in a political endeavor and a political thing. True, you have been in the past, but now he's been selected to judge your case, and you're going to be on this stand next week. He's going to be up here. And they're going to be showing this picture. Gerald L. K. Smith has my picture with Bobby Baker, and is selling them at $5 a hundred. All over the United States. And the FBI's gone and located the box numbers, and that's what it is. And we never knew we had one with Bobby.
Yeah.
But now they're going to have another one with McCloskey, and they'll be selling it for $10 a hundred. Now, I don't see how that's going to help his construction firm or how it's going to help him. It looks to me like, and I'm not going to be tried except maybe as a candidate, because I've never taken a dollar from him or from Baker either, or had any venture with him. But it seems to me that he and Baker have got to explain what went with this $30,000. And the last place I'd want to be if I were him would be at a Goldwater head table or a Johnson head table. And I'd be out of town so goddamn far away that they'd have no excuse. Now, it's not unusual for a man to be out of town when they're having a meeting. I have them right here and ask you to come to the White House, and you've got to be out of town. And there's not anything wrong with a man of complex business arrangements of being in New York. And I don't see that he... So he's there. Now, what? That's that. But what are his gains by coming to the dinner? He gets to see some old friends that he could see in Philadelphia next week. Mm-hmm. He gets to point out that he's really there. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's not a gain. That's a liability. Yeah. He gets his picture made. He might get a good picture for his family album. But I'd be damned if I think that's in his interest. Yeah. I don't see what there's to be gained. Maybe he'd sell an extra ticket or two. I don't know. But the pluses are not there for me, and the minuses are all over the damn lot. Yeah. And I don't want to be the... I can take it, Phil. I've been loyal to friends before. You know some of them, and you've represented some of them. But I swear I don't see why we just want to volunteer to do it.
Well, I think that's right, and I think that I'll take his phone.
I think you better get a hold of his lawyer and say, now, here's these men are going to be the judges. He oughtn't be associated with them.
Yeah.
And he oughtn't be in a partisan thing.
I think I can use Joe Clark's presence
But it's not his lawyer, really. This is the governor. That's his wife to the governor's wife to the governor.
Tom McBride is... Matt's lawyer.
I know it, but God doesn't have a legal...
But what Ken is saying is that McCloskey's wife is talking to Dave Lawrence's wife and saying that they want Matt and his wife to be there.
It's an insult to his pride.
And that he ought to be treated this way, and the politicians ought to run out on him and ought to refuse to have anything to do with him.
Well, I think it's also Tom McBride, because Tom expressed that same view here a long time ago.
But Abe, when he talked to me, he was more than willing, before anybody had gotten to him, he was more than willing and happy not to be there. And saw very clearly that it could be very embarrassing to him.
Right.
And then it just, even the last time I talked to him, he appeared to like to get talked out of it, but was getting pressures from somebody.
Yeah.
I think, but they're waiting now. You're the final executioner.
I don't think you ought to go to either of them.
I think you ought to stay away.
I think that would be the
You'll
most desirable.
Be missed.
And I don't think he'd notice it if he stayed away. And if he did, I think he'd just have to say to him that he had this business meeting involving a job he had and finishing it 30 days early or something. And he just had to do there. He couldn't lose $50,000 because he wasn't there. He just had to go to it. That's what he'd say to him. I think you got to have a retreat position. And if you have a retreat position, if you just got to be there, I would certainly have him sitting in the audience and have him at the private dinner, but have him stay away, not even speak to me.
Correct.
That would be the retreat position. But I would tell him from Joe Clark, from his standpoint, from other standpoint, that they Williams and Goldwater both used it in his speech yesterday in Seattle. And this morning he's got a big... kick out of this thing. And Senator Goldwater, quote, terrifically encouraged, unquote, by early reaction, headed east today. The Arizona Discriminative South is greatly surprised, greatly pleased. Midway in his first week, Goldwater scheduled speech in Idaho, Montana, and so forth. He reiterated previous statements and domestic front said he would discuss such issues as morality and government and the need to increase law and order. And
we're going to have to take more and more of that and not worry about it. We're in good shape.
Now, Mr. Miller says there certainly is something very odd, this is William Miller, about the way Johnson acquired his private fortune. The Republican candidate made no direct charges, but he addressed in a breakfast meeting this morning. Miller referred to crime and corruption as a sickness in the nation. How can we cure this sickness, he asked, if there's sickness in the highest levels?
Yeah, well, they'll keep that up, and they're going to get more.